Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Would you go to the book of Luke, chapter 2? And to our guest, we welcome you this morning to TPC. We're glad to have you, and we mean that. Thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to read one passage of scripture, and that's going to be found in verse 11. If you didn't bring your Bibles, that's all right. You can look up on the screen. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Here we go. Luke 2 and 11. The Bible says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would bring our minds, our bodies, and our hearts together. We know that this is a really busy season of the year, and we're just asking, Lord, let us have peace with you, peace within ourselves, and peace with others. Take this word and use it for your glory, and everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. How many of you have ever been in a jam and you couldn't get yourself out of it? Yeah. Y'all, I heard about this little girl, and she was strapped real tightly into her car seat. And she was with her dad, and they were waiting on her mom. Her mom was shopping. And so they had been just sitting there in the car for quite a while, and she's getting frustrated with the heat. She's getting upset because her mom is taking so long. And so she just hangs her head out the window and she yells to the top of her lungs, "Please, God, get me out of this." How many's ever felt like that? I'm sure we all have. And you may be feeling that way this Christmas about something going on in your life, at your job, with your family. You may be feeling like, "Please, God, help me here. I'm in a jam. Help me to get out of this." Well, the good news is this, that Jesus did come to save you. He came to get us out of a jam. The Bible says, "For there is born to you," say to you, say that means me, "a Savior was born to you." Notice this Savior, he came for you. He came for me because he cares. He wants to get us out of the jams that we get ourselves in. I read a Christmas survey, and this Christmas survey asked the question, it says, "What do you need to be saved from?" And the response was this. Some people said, "I need to be saved from people that are trying to hurt me." Others said, "I need to be saved from fear." Some said, "I need to be saved from debt." Others said, "I need to be saved from bad habits." One person said, "I need to be saved from myself." Well, here's the good news, is that Jesus came at Christmas time to save us from sin, from self, and from hell. But salvation is more than just fire insurance. Salvation means that Jesus saves you from something. I want to talk about that for just a minute. Salvation means Jesus wants to save you from something. Let me be open with you this morning. There's no one that causes you as many problems as your own self. All right, for the three of you that didn't say amen, you need to join us, because that is the truth. How many know that we trip ourselves up far more than anybody else does? And if you get honest with yourself this morning, if you'll get honest, then you know and you will admit that there are some habits that even as a Christian, you've yet to break those. If you'll get honest, there are some thoughts that you're like, dear God, I don't even want to think that. Where did that even come from? There's even some emotions like anger that still arises up in you. And you're like, dear God, I thought I had this under the blood. And yet you still feel that same emotion. There's insecurities. There's fears that we would like to hide, but to be open, we know they're out there. There's regrets, there's resentments that some of you, even as precious saints of God, you've held on for 5 years, 10 years, still haven't let those go. And there are things that all of us wish that we could press rewind and go back, because we would do it different. We would say it different. We would have handled that situation different. Can I get an amen? And you know, we like to blame things on others because that's just human nature. But when you really get right down to it, no one has caused you more problems than you yourself. I am the problem with me, and you are the problem with you. And if you will look right in the middle of the word sin is the letter I. Because you know what? We're all born with an I problem. We're all by nature self-centered. It is our natural inclination. It is the natural inclination of man to make wrong choices instead of right choices. Can I get a witness? You know, if you don't think that we come into this world self-centered, then just ask any parent that's raised a child. Any parent that's raised a child will tell you they don't have to teach them how to lie. They don't have to teach them how to take somebody else's toy. We come into this world very self-centered. And yes, I get it. There's nobody perfect. None of us have found that perfection. Here's what Romans 3 and 23 says. For all have sinned. That means everybody in this house, no matter how good you think you are, myself included, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, when you look at the book of John, it tells us that if you say you haven't sinned, then you're calling God a liar. Because all of us were born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. None of us have been perfect. I find out that I don't measure up to my own imperfect standards, much less God's perfect standards. That's why you can look at somebody across the way and feel like you're holier than they are, because you're comparing yourself to somebody else. But when you compare yourself to God, ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to do is you're going to say exactly what Isaiah said, and that is, woe is me. Because God's standards are so perfect and they're so high, there is absolutely no way that frail human flesh can ever measure up to it. That's why you've got to have a Savior that can save you and fill you with His Spirit, because you can't do this by yourself. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you can't do this by yourself. You can't. How many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution and broke it? How many's ever started a diet and didn't finish it? How many's ever tried to break a bad habit and didn't work out for you too well? Come on, somebody. Then you know how frustrating it can be to try to change yourself on willpower alone. Studies have been conducted that show willpower lasts about 90 days. Everybody's going to get really excited about joining the gym across the street, and you won't be able to find a parking lot for 2 weeks in January. But guess what? You'll be able to get whatever spot you want come about the middle of February. You know why? Because it's hard to change on willpower alone. Because willpower leaves you on Monday mornings. But the good news is the Savior doesn't leave you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll stay with you. Somebody help me preach this morning. I said, this Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, will stay with you 24/7. Amen. You know, I know that we can all identify with the Apostle Paul, that great theologian who wrote in the book of Romans. He wrote the book of Romans chapter 7 and verse 19, and he says this, "For the good that I would do, I find myself not doing that." What I want to do that's good, I find myself, no, I'm not doing that. And then the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself, that's what I gravitate to. How many can relate to the Apostle Paul? I know that I can. See, Paul lets us know that we can't do it on our own. You can't. Only God can transform our hearts. Only God can remove the resentment and the bitterness from yesterday. Only God can remove the anger that we have felt swell up within our spirits. Only God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Only God, ladies and gentlemen, can remove the addictive behaviors and the bad habits that we have gotten accustomed to. So here's what I want you to know, that God saves you from something. What does He save me from? Well, He saves me from sin. He saves me from myself. See, but here's something else. God also saves you for something. Not just from something, but He saves you for something. Every person that has ever been born has a purpose. See, God doesn't create anything that He doesn't love. I'm going to say that again. If you're alive this morning, then it means you have a purpose. And if you're breathing this morning, it means that God loves you. But now here's the problem. That every one of us have strayed from God's intended purposes in our life. We're all like a train that has jumped off of the tracks, and we've been derailed by our own stubbornness and our own sinfulness. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. It says this, "For we like sheep have all gone astray." And it's not that God doesn't have a purpose for you, but many times what we do, instead of running to God's purposes, we run from them. Because we don't always want to submit to what God wants. We want to do what we want. We want to be our own CEO. We want to be able to tell ourselves what we want to do when we want to do it. But brothers and sisters, this is what the scripture says. It is not within man to direct his own steps. If you direct your own steps, eventually you're going to lead yourself down a path. And sin always keeps you longer than what you want to stay and takes you further than what you want to go. So I'm telling you, the best news that any of us could hear this morning is Christmas, because Christmas brings to us a time of celebration, and that is that God loves you even as a sinner. Christ died for you, and the next purpose of Christmas is salvation. He come to save you for something, and He come to save you from something. And that's why God sent His only begotten Son. Because it took a Savior to redeem us from sin and to reset the direction of our lives and to restore us, all of us, to our original purpose. Here's what I've learned, ladies and gentlemen, is that people live on three levels. I've learned that people live on three levels. Number one, people live on a survival level. You're going to find this hard to believe, but you can fact check it if you want to. 3 billion people live on $2.50 a day. 1 billion people live on $1 a day. 4 billion people live on less than $2.50 a day. That's called survival. But if you live in the United States, just living here, even if you're on governmental assistance, you're still in the second category, which is success. You may not feel like you have much. In fact, you may feel poor, but just being a citizen of the United States means that you're above the majority of the world. Isn't that hard to believe? And you say, Pastor, I have problems. Well, let me tell you something. There's 4 billion people that would trade places with you right now in a heartbeat. Most of the world lives at the survival level. You live at the success level. But here's the problem with that. And here's why now depression has become epidemic in America. You want to know why? It's because success does not satisfy. I think this is probably maybe going to be hard for you to get, but please stay with me. You can have a lot to live on and nothing to live for. You can have money in your back pocket and no purpose in your heart. Come on. Because after a while, these celebrities that they go and they entertain and they're rock stars and they go out and they sing and they entertain America or the world for 2 hours, eventually they get to questioning, what's really my purpose? Is my only purpose is to make somebody feel good for 2 hours? And then guess what? They have all this success, but now they start getting on pills because success doesn't satisfy. And then many of them, what they start doing is they start giving millions and millions of dollars to charity. Why? Because they want to feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. That my life truly matters. Brothers and sisters, you can have a lot to live on, but very little to live for. You can have success in your back pocket, and you can have the house and the car. Great, no problem with that. But you were designed for more than success. You were designed for significance. But you got to catch this. And for you young couples, I know this is difficult to understand, but you'll never find significance in money, power, or success. It will always leave you empty. Some of you say, well, I might want to try it. I get that, but can I just call a few names? Where did Michael Jackson end up? Where did Prince end up? Where did Elvis end up? Where did Marilyn Monroe end up? Where does Steve McQueen end up? And the names keep rolling that you know. Because success, brothers and sisters, will never satisfy. That's why Jesus came to be a Savior, to save you not only from your sin, but from yourself. Because the deal is we think it's in this and we run and we get that. And then it lasts for maybe 72 hours. And then we realize, well, it's not in that. And then we run over here and we get this. And then, yeah, we feel a little tinge of excitement. And then we realize it's not in that. What's going to really bring significance to your life is having a purpose that is bigger than you. Jesus says this, if you really want to gain your life, you got to lose it. And people say, well, what does that mean? I want to try to make that make sense. Here's what it means. It means that if you hold on to your life and you hold on to your dreams and your goals, then guess what? You're never going to find the kingdom. You know why? Because you're too busy building the pyramid to your wealth and your power and your success. And you're trying to reach way up here because that's where Americans think it's at. And the Lord is letting us know that if you want to save your life, you got to be willing to lose it. In other words, You got to be willing to walk away from your wants and your desires in order to seek first the kingdom. Yeah. And then if you're willing to seek first the kingdom and all of his righteousness, then he'll add these things to you. Yeah. But guess what? You're going to have significance because you're going to know I'm doing what God put me on this earth to do. I am fulfilling my purpose because I understand it's more than just a nice car and a nice home and the latest handbag. Can I get a witness talking about the second purpose of Christmas, and that is salvation. God come to save you from sin and self. But it goes deeper than that. He come to save you for something. He wants you to understand that when he saves you, there's a past that is forgiven, there is a purpose worth living, and there is a home in heaven. And you have a purpose, and it's bigger than yourself. Can I get a witness this morning? You know, this world of ours is filled with frustrated people who don't know what they're looking for. They just know that something's missing. And on the inside, they feel this gnawing that something is incomplete. And there's got to be more to life than just a paycheck until retirement. Well, maybe you've tried to find fulfillment, brothers and sisters, in sex. Maybe you've tried to find it in status or in salary. Maybe you've tried to find it in security or success, but to no avail. But what you really need is salvation. Because you were made by God and you were made for God. And until you get that, life is never going to make sense. Can I get a witness? You may be looking for a Savior, and you may say to yourself, man, if I could just find Mr. Right, I'd be so happy. If I could find Mrs. Right, I would be so happy. Man, everything would be great if I could just get that promotion and just get that job. If I could obtain just this level of wealth and get my 401k to this level, then I would feel peaceful and I would feel fulfilled. You may say, man, if I could only have that great-looking body. If I could just impress all the right people. Man, if I could just escape to a beautiful island for 3 weeks, then my emptiness would be filled. If you haven't gotten anything else I've said, I want you to lean into this. Please hear me. The answer is not in a place. It's not in a program. And it's not in a pill. It's in a person. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What you're missing this morning is a relationship with the one who created you. And he created you so he could love you. Jesus loves you. That's what we celebrate. Jesus saves us from something. He saves us for something. And here's my last point. He saves us by something. What does he save you by? He saves you by grace. Some of you, you may feel like that you've got to earn God's approval. And the only way to earn God's approval is if you live this perfect life. I'm here to tell you that the big idea behind religion is always you must work, you must strive, you must put forth great effort to get God to like you. But that's not true. God came to earth as Jesus, essentially to tell us that my love is undeserving. You can't work hard enough for it. You can't do enough religious things to get it. But let me show you how you can get it. You can get it by my grace. You can't purchase it. You can't work hard enough to get it. You can't be good enough to merit it. Please hear me. You cannot be religious enough to obtain God's favor. God is not looking for religion. He is looking for a relationship with each and every one of us. Here's what Ephesians 2 and 8 says. It says, for by grace are you saved, and not that of yourself, lest any man should boast. When you get to heaven and you stand before God, should we work? Yes, but we work to show him we love him, not to earn his approval. We have faith and works. We have truth and grace, both of them. But we're not going to get to heaven and brag about what we've done. That's not what saves us. What saves us is the grace of Almighty God. Can I get a witness? Everything that Jesus does for you, to you, and through you is a gift of his grace. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. I'm hurrying. He didn't say, I am finished. You know why? Because he wasn't finished. Because 3 days later, you know what he did? He rose from the grave. And then after that, he showed himself for 40 days to people upon the earth. So it wasn't that he was finished. He just said, it is finished. What did he mean by that? He meant by that payment for your salvation. That's what was finished. Can I break it down? Payment for your salvation. In other words, he died to save you. Jesus paid off your debt on the cross. He compensated for the damages of your sins. He redeemed you from slavery to evil. And he substituted himself to take payment that you deserved. That, my friend, is when we sing Amazing Grace, is what we're talking about. He's not finished, but it was finished. The payment of sin was finished at the cross, but he's still working on me, and he's still working on you, because he has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. I want to encourage you at this Christmas time that no man, no woman could ever love you completely and as deeply as the Lord does. How do I know that? Because his death proves it. See, the Lord saves you from something, and he saves you for something, and he saves you by something. In closing, when you talk to lifeguards, you think about saving people, your mind has a tendency to go think about being a lifeguard and saving people. And when you talk to lifeguards, they will tell you this, that if somebody is out there and they have a lot of adrenaline flowing through their body, they're flapping their arms, they're doing all kinds of things. And a lifeguard understands, as long as that adrenaline is running and they are just fighting, that person can literally drown a lifeguard trying to save them. So what a lifeguard has to do is a lifeguard has to stay back a foot or two and let them totally get to a relaxed state to realize they can't save themselves. And then when that lifeguard sees that now that adrenaline has left their body and they're no longer trying to save themselves, then that lifeguard can come in, put his arm around that person and help save them and bring them back to shore. I don't know this morning what you need to be saved from. It may be from your past. It may be from anger. It may be from a lot of bitterness. But here's what I do know. As long as you think you can save yourself, and as long as you think you got this, and as long as you're operating in pride and you say, you know what, I'm a man, I'm a lady, I can make my own way, I built myself to this point, I can do it, I can. Guess what? You're trying to save yourself. And the Lord will never step in. It's not until you realize, I've done all of this and I still feel like I'm drowning. I need a Savior. I need somebody to help me out of the mess that I'm in. Maybe some of you are just like that little girl. You're strapped and you're shackled by some things, and you tried your best to break your way out of bad habits, and you've done your best to break yourself away from addictions in your life, and you find yourself like a dog going right back to its vomit. And you say, I can do this. And then next time you promise to God you'll never do it again. And guess what? Talk to me. You go back. Why? Listen, folks, if you could have saved yourself, do you think the Lord would have gone through all of the pain, the suffering, and the agony of sending his only begotten son to come here and save you if you could have saved yourself? If there would have been any other way, he would have done it. But there was no other way. So he said, you know what? I'm going to send my one and only son to die for you because you can't save yourself. I don't mean to make fun of anyone this morning, but if we could see you, literally, if we could see you right now, somehow, up on the screen, some of you would be doing this because you're drowning. and you're trying to save yourself, and you're thinking, if I get this person, and if I got this, and if I could just hold on to this, and you know what all of it is? It's all a straw. It's all a straw. Success, you can have it today and be gone tomorrow. You better learn, and I'm not preaching hard to you, but I'm just saying, we all need to learn to hold on to things that won't ever slip away. Because you can have it today and it can be gone tomorrow. Why don't some of you this morning give up? Give up. Quit trying to save yourself and quit trying to do this on willpower alone. Here's the good news about Christmas. You can celebrate because He loves you. Romans tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the second purpose of Christmas. It's for salvation. He sent a Savior because he knew you couldn't save yourself. And you know what I wished I had? I wished I had a lot of those round, sort of like an inner tube that's tied to a rope. I wish I had a good 50 of them. Because I would throw them out all over this congregation and tell you that when you quit trying to save yourself and you just relax and you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, then guess what? He's going to reach out. And with a little sense of humor, he's probably going to say, it's about time. You finally come to your senses. You can't do this. You need my help. And He's going to lift you up. And He's going to forgive you of every one of your sins. Your past is going to be totally forgiven. He's going to give you a purpose for living because it's more than success. It's significance. It's understanding. I'm giving my life away for a purpose that's bigger than myself. But you can't do that by yourself. Would you stand, please? Would you bow your heads? Lord, we know in theory that we can't save ourselves, but we still try. God, I'm asking you to forgive me and this congregation. Forgive us for thinking that we know better than you. Lord, we have all been like sheep that have gone astray, and we've all walked down paths that we thought would lead us to what we wanted, and we got it, and we still found that it was empty, that it wasn't really what we wanted. It's what we thought, but it didn't pan out the way that we had thought it would. Lord, there's some precious people here this morning, but they're walking down the wrong path. They're trying to reach success to make them feel valuable when we're valuable because of the price you paid for us. What we all want, God, is we want significance. We want our life to count. We want something more than to just live on. We want something to live for. And so this morning, I'm praying that there are some people here that they're going to be open for new management. They're going to be open to say, God, I realize that I cannot save myself. I must have a Savior. I'm going to repent of all my sins, and I'm going to confess that I've tried to do it my way, but it hadn't worked out. And Lord, I need more than willpower. I need your power. So fill me, God, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Because friends come and go, but Jesus comes and stays. And I need the power of God to help me in my everyday life and in my everyday decisions. I need you. I wonder right now, right where you are, as they begin to sing this chorus, why don't you just lift your voice up to the Lord right now? And whatever it is you're struggling with, why don't you just tell the Lord, God, I need you to save me from myself. I need you to save me, God, not only from my sin, but save me from myself. in the balcony on the first floor. Maybe you want to lift up your hand.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.